Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
Well, as the great inventor Thomas Edison once said, if we all did the things we are capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. However, in this world of mass distraction, productivity in the workplace is often hampered. My next guest, productivity coach James Parnell, is going to share his advice for improving productivity in the workplace. But James, start by telling us, what is a productivity coach?
Good morning, Carl. Thanks for having me. Essentially, I teach people how to maximize their impact with the smallest amount of effort. So it's really about bang for buck. I help them to get organized, both practically with their processes and their work and their systems, but also with their mindset and their emotional intelligence.
So what led you to developing a niche in this particular space?
Back when I was living in Sydney, probably 15 years ago now, my background is a project manager and began to work with software teams and became an agile coach. And I realized that all of the disciplines that I was learning in a work environment, like design thinking, agile, innovation, the basic time management, being organized, planning, thinking ahead, if I applied them to all of my life, I'd be a lot better. And so I kind of went sideways a little bit into well-being and explored neuroscience and mindset and emotional intelligence. And I just, basically harnessed all of that. And so I just realized that I have a set of skills that's quite unique, and I want to bring that to people who are in positions of influence.
So when you're approached by potential clients, usually what problems are they coming to you with?
Well, it could be at kind of two levels generally. One might be individually, they might just feel a little bit overwhelmed, a little bit chaotic, like they're not managing their time and might have an impact on their own personal life. That's at a leadership level. But also at a team or business level, they might have similar problems where the business is burning money because they're not efficient. They're working a bit chaotically. That can have an impact on the team morale. They're not being transparent because they use different systems. So they're worried about the team dynamic and the team performance, and obviously the impact that has on the bottom line.
So your approach includes people, process and tools. So talk us through the journey once you do engage with a client.
I'd say a three-phase approach. So first of all, what we'll do is what I call a retrospective or a pulsing. So we will have a workshop with the client and the key stakeholders to identify exactly what's working well, what's working badly, or what's not working. And we'll map out their end-to-end process. So why is that team a team? What exactly is their value chain? What is the value they produce? And we look at that and we basically produce both a heat map, which identifies the things that are going well and the things that need to be fixed, and a roadmap. So what the team is going to do to fix them. And then the second phase is basically an execution phase. And it's a short execution phase to A, get quick wins, and to B, measure what I'd call velocity, which is an agile term, but it's basically how fast the team works, how much work they get done in a fixed period. So we might do a four-week sprint or a four-week execution phase and measure the team's velocity. And then the third phase would be continuation of the execution, but also preparing the team to operate on their own without me.
And when you approach a business in that respect, you're bringing skills such as agile, design thinking and neuroscience to bear. Provide us with some examples of how they work in practical terms.
Using neuroscience is understanding exactly what drives people's behaviour. So you can have the greatest intent to work hard and to be highly productive, but if your environment isn't set up right, if your health isn't right, if your... For example, even your desk is not set up to screen productivity, you're not going to be productive because we're not as in control as we think we are. So we use neuroscience to help people understand themselves and to help them create an environment and habits and rituals that help their individual performance. And then when it comes to agile and design thinking, you know, for me, I just have that's a toolbox. You know, I have Lean Six Sigma, and they are tools that you can use to look at the processes. So you can very easily give people an agile methodology that allows them to repeat consistently certain rituals that are important.
And what are the common habits of highly effective teams?
Well, the first one is planning. So all good teams strategically plan. And the purpose of planning is not to add more things to do. It is to really, it's the opposite often. It is to eliminate all the things that are not of the highest value. So I think a lot of people who plan individually or teams just get a list and, you know, try and fit it in a time frame. But planning is completely different. We're overwhelmed enough as it is individually and as teams, as businesses. The key purpose of planning is eliminate all the things that are not strategic and try and work only on strategic things. So the first one is planning. And then the second ritual is not so much, you know, a fixed time box, but it's execution. And execution is all about the state of flow. It is the elimination of distractions, the elimination of unnecessary meetings. It is freeing up thinking time for, you know, the creative team to do their best work. And then probably the third core ritual for me would be the retrospective. And in, you know, some agile people will tell you, if you're going to implement any of the three rituals, implement the retrospective first. So the retrospective is simply three things. It's a facilitated meeting where you look at what is working well, what is not working, and what are we going to do about it. And the key thing about a retrospective is that whatever actions you agree, they are planned almost immediately afterwards. You know, you can't just have good intentions coming out of a meeting. You've got to agree what's reasonable, what can you act on now, and build it into your next plan. So those three rituals are not working in isolation. They're working together.
And on the topic of time management, it's often said that people do what they want to do as opposed to doing what they need to do. How can they break that habit and cycle?
That's a good point. I mean, I use different tactics. I sometimes try to gamify it. So I'll put a score on the things when I'm planning my week ahead. I'll put a score between 0 and 100 for the really high impact stuff is 100. And the low impact stuff is obviously closer to 0. And I'll aim to, you know, have a 500 point week or something like that. There's different ways to motivate yourself. And I think, you know, just really being conscious of what the impact is and assigning a value. So there's lots of methods to prioritize. But if you're going into the week with a list of 20 things and everything looks the same, you're going to fail. And at the end of the week, you're going to feel guilty that you didn't get the stuff done. If you go into the week with a list of 4 high impact things, then you're much more likely to get those things done and everything else is a bonus. So avoid long lists, you know, make it a very short list, focus on value over effort. You know, and when it comes to productivity, there's 4 levers, I guess, that you want to really focus on. The first one is prioritization, knowing the key things to do, the highest impact. That's the one I just spoke about. Then there's time management. And, you know, we think we have 40 hours a week, but if you look at your week next week, I guarantee you probably only have about 10 or 12 hours free. You know, after you've done all the BAU, all the meetings, all of the stuff that, you know, is in your diary already, you've got much less capacity. So rather than having a long list and thinking you've got 40 hours, it's much easier to plan if you know you only have 6 hours. You're going to say to yourself, what can I do in those 6 hours that's going to move the dial? That's actually much easier to plan and much easier to prioritize when you're starting with a low number. And then the third key pillar of productivity is energy management. So that's aligning the work you do with the energy you have. So most people are highly energetic and have great mental energy between 9 and 12 in the morning, and that's when they should do their strategic stuff. What I see in a lot of companies is meetings in the morning. that is a waste of your mental energy, because the best type of work to do there is deep thinking work, and meetings should be in the afternoon. And then the fourth one is all about performance, is where you put your attention, trying to achieve the state of flow to get that strategic thinking done. So you need to have, you know, maybe it's 2 hours on 3 or 4 days a week between 10 and 12 in the morning. That's just blocked out. You protect with, you know, with your life, and you don't allow that to be overbooked, and you use that to move the dial on your business.
Well, if you've just tuned in, that was productivity coach James Parnell, and I'd like to thank James for providing us with his tips for improving productivity this morning.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.